Yeah, I know. Like, should have been at the end of the sermon. Oh, man. Man, no, we need a video or a recording of that. So every time we're tempted to sin, right there. Man, and there's more, right? So we can have some more poems in the future. That was awesome. All right, turn your Bibles to Psalm chapter 16. David was a poet also. Probably sound a little different in Hebrew. It's been a crazy, awesome, but crazy month this month for the church, for a lot of people, and for me, for sure. We had Alex and Cassie's wedding last weekend, which saw a lot of people gone at the wedding. It was beautiful. It was awesome. And they're married, so that's really cool. And then we had church here. Sean held down the fort for us and others who helped, Jason. And so thank you for that. And we're still here. So you, good job, bro. Thank you. Amen. I was in, so we were in St. Louis last weekend, Friday through Monday. And then I was in Chicago Wednesday. I left like at 5:30 in the morning Wednesday, got back 11 at night on Thursday. Quick two-day trip to Chicago. We're a part of a fellowship of churches. We've chosen to be a part of this fellowship of churches that is, and I don't know if you realize this or not, I don't think I even realize this, 650 churches in 150 countries. Like, we're really, praise is heard around the world, we're really a part of a worldwide fellowship. Like, we've got a small group in Afghanistan. Like, that's how worldwide we are as a church. And so went to some meetings this week just to talk about how to best function as a worldwide fellowship, as our part of the kingdom of God. Even being 650 churches in 150 countries, that's just a very small part of everything that God is doing. But we want to do our small part the best as possible. So if you could just pray about we really just talked for 2 days straight, but the decisions that will be made from the discussions that we had. We're a part of a group out of those churches that is in the Midwest, and I kind of, well, I represent our church to that group. And so pray for me to be a great representative and to make some decisions there if we need to and all that. But it was good, but just want you to know where I've been. We've got some things coming up, too. We've got the Spartan Challenge starts tomorrow. We've got, I think, a couple people coming in this first week, and then it'll be up to 6 people that come and are mostly spending time at Michigan State, sharing their faith and getting ready. Even for the students that we have coming in, we've got 3 students from the Detroit Church of Christ coming this fall or winter. There's a sister doing grad work from a church in Florida. And so things are, God's moving things at MSU, and then we know that we love LCC, and things, great things will continue to happen there as well. But those are things to pray about. And speaking of prayer, if you haven't gotten your prayer ornament in, I'm praying. That's, for some reason, walking around and seeing people's prayers on these ornaments, I just love to pray like that. And so if you want prayers, and not just from me, but people go in there and pray, please take time today during the potluck. Make an ornament. The instructions are right there how to do it, and we'll get that prayer room just filled with prayers. Amen? Today is our first day of giving for special missions. Clay will talk about that a little bit more. I'm going to talk about it a little bit here. And it's also the beginning of our summer series of having the best devotional time of your life. Pretty simple series. It's just every day when you have your time with God, try to make it the best you've ever had. One of these, I believe that every single one of us, sometime this summer, you'll have this time with God that you'll never forget. And that time, I want you, if you could, send me your notes, take a picture of your Bible or where you were at, if it was while you were on vacation. And it's a way for us to kind of stay together. We're all focused on having these great devotional times because in the summer we go on vacations, we do all kinds of stuff, we're scattered. But this keeps us together if we're all focused on having awesome times with God, and what better thing to focus on than that? Amen. Let's talk about special missions before we get into Psalm 16 for a second. As I said, it's been a crazy month, we've been going through the passport book. Hopefully that's been good for you. You're taking notes, you're learning a lot, you're trying the recipes. I went with my girls and we put together, we got this styrofoam cooler, and we put Gatorades in it, and we got Rice Krispie treats so that when we stop at a light where there's somebody asking for food or whatever, we could give a Gatorade and a Rice Krispie treat to the person. And that was 2 weeks ago we did that. That was one of the challenges in the book. And a couple things. The styrofoam cooler, it's when I'm driving, it's like, ear. It's so bad. It's like I just want to like throw the whole thing out the window. And not one time since we did it have I gotten a red light by one of the, it's like green light magic. Like all, never, I've never had that yet. But I've got all these Gatorades. I'm ready. I need a red light, which I've never wanted ever before, but now I want. So anyway, but hopefully you're trying the challenges. It's supposed to be challenging. If you haven't gotten into the book totally yet, you've got the book. If you don't have the book, come see me. I still have a few copies left. But get into it. Read it. It really can change your life. It's been an awesome thing for a lot of churches and a lot of people. Today we're going to begin to give. We're going to give for the next couple of weeks because people are already on vacation and things are happening. We want to be able to give and support churches. Here's what you're giving to. And so if you're wondering why am I giving, what am I giving for, what you're giving for is we support churches in Europe. Churches in Europe are wealthy, probably as wealthy, maybe not quite as wealthy as we are as a church. And so it's maybe a little strange to give money to support wealthy churches. But what is in Europe is it's really quickly becoming the most godless place on the planet. And Ryan talked about that when he preached a few weeks ago. We're giving money to probably the second most difficult mission field next to the Middle East that there is. It's becoming a country or a continent of atheism. And if you could imagine walking around the streets of Kiev where they had communism, they weren't even allowed to have God, and where religion is very, if anyone is religious, it's very orthodox and traditional. And then most of the young people, which is the future of the church, don't believe in God at all. It's a very difficult thing. And so we're supporting churches that are battling that. That's an awesome thing to support. We also, with our special missions, give to this fund called the MMA, which is not about that, but it's just as tough and awesome. It's the Midwest Missions Alliance, and that goes to support small churches in the Midwest. When we hit 100 members last year, we were able to start giving to this. They don't want small churches to give to a small church fund if you're too small, because you might end up just needing money from it anyway. And so I went up a couple weeks ago to Duluth, Minnesota, and that's one of the churches that money goes to. Also, Fort Wayne, Indiana receives funds from it. Ryan, there's a video on the next slide, if you wouldn't mind. This is the Duluth Church, the Arrowhead Christian Fellowship that's in our fellowship. That's it. There's 20 people worshiping in Duluth in our fellowship. And it was awesome to be there because first of all, it's on Lake Superior, which is awesome. But secondly, that was our church a decade ago. That's how Sunday looked for us. Very, very small. And we were just grateful to have any kind of music at all. And kind of probably like last week a little bit here. So we support that. So amen. So a couple of things with this. I really want us all to give something, okay? Don't miss out on giving something. And maybe you can't give as much as you wanted to give or you feel like you should give. If you feel guilty, don't feel guilty. But please just give something to our special missions. The last thing it supports, I want to be really clear about what we're doing here. European churches, Midwest small churches, and then also it helps our church. Whatever we give over keeps Alex on staff, helps us to do the things that we need to do as still a pretty small church and a mission team ourselves. Amen? So please give something. We're going to give this week starting, and then in the next couple weeks, Clay will talk a little bit more about it at the end here. All right, let's talk about our devotional times. Psalm 16, let me get there. You're probably already there. You're like, when are you going to start preaching? Bring Stephanie back. I hear you. (Clears I had a devotional time. This is actually from a couple of weeks ago, and I want to have so many great devotional times this summer. And I read Psalm 16, which I've read many times in my life, but you ever get to a passage that you've read before, and then you read it, and it's like you'd never even heard it before? You're like, where did God just put this in the Bible? Where did this come from? And that's how I felt when I read Psalm 16. And so, and it goes right along with this idea of giving in a great way. And so let me read it to you. Preserve me, O God, for in you I take refuge. I say to the Lord, you are my Lord. I have no good apart from you. As for the saints in the land, they are the excellent ones, in whom is all my delight. The sorrows of those who run after another god shall multiply. Their drink offerings of blood I will pour out. I will not pour out, or take their names on my lips. The Lord is my chosen portion and my cup. You hold my lot. The lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Indeed, I have a beautiful inheritance. I bless the Lord who gives me counsel. In the night also, my heart instructs me. I have set the Lord always before me because he is at my right hand. I shall not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad and my whole being rejoices. My flesh also dwells secure, for you will not abandon my soul to Sheol or let your Holy One see corruption. You make known to me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. And so I read this sitting down by my pond. And when I read this, I looked around and I saw the water and the trees and the sun. It was a day a lot like today. There are always frogs and turtles and fish, and there's an oriole nesting, and there's this one duck who likes to hang out. And so I'm sitting there, and I'm just like, this is amazing. This is so beautiful. And then I started thinking about my family and how God's blessed me with these three amazing girls to take care of and also to be sanctified by. And I thought about how I have this amazing job where I'm expected to have awesome times with God and then talk to people about God. And the verse that really struck me the first time I read it was verse 6. The lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Indeed, I have a beautiful inheritance. And I just kind of stopped right there and thought about that and prayed about that. And I was so grateful. I know that we don't always feel that. Even with all that I feel like I have, I still need to listen to my sermon from 2 weeks ago about contentment. But sometimes, don't you get that feeling of just like, wow, I am so blessed. This is so good. I hope you have that feeling often. God wants us to feel that way. And I don't know if you're like me, when you start to feel that, what I do is I shut it down immediately by worrying that something bad will happen. This is so good, but it's going to go so bad so soon. And I start, you start freaking out, right? And we really torture ourselves, I think. That's what we do. But at this moment, when I first read this psalm, that's how I felt so encouraged. And so I read it about a dozen times that day, and continued to read it over and over again for the next week. And as I read it, I began to see it very differently. Actually, I began to see it the exact opposite of how I saw it at first. We've talked about this, but I want you guys to know this is a Bible nerd thing. Some of the Bible nerd things I share with you probably don't matter. This matters. I want you to know this, okay? Hebrew poetry, and we had an awesome poem with a lot of rhyming. Hebrew poetry was written in a style called parallelism. Our poetry usually rhymes sounds. Parallelism in the Bible is a rhyming of ideas, okay? So not the sounds. And sometimes, actually, in the Hebrew, there's some pretty cool sound rhyming as well, but we don't get that in any of our translations. But the ideas rhyme. And so when you read something from the Psalms or the prophets, anywhere where in your Bible it's not a paragraph, but it's these little poem verse things, what you can do is you can look for the line that you read, and then the next line is going to magnify or clarify or explain the line you just read. Sometimes it'll even contrast it and go the opposite. But that's how Hebrew poetry worked. And so let's look at this. We'll do this with verse 6, that verse that first stuck out to me. And since this is just my devotional time notes, there's not a whole lot of structure here. We're just going to hang out in Psalm 16, and hopefully you'll be as inspired as I was. Amen? But verse 6, so the first line, the lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. And then the parallelism is the next line, which magnifies that. Indeed, it's even got a magnifying word, indeed, I have a beautiful inheritance. Okay, so that's that verse. Now, if we think back to what I originally thought about the beautiful things that had fallen in my life, the day, the pond, my family, the word in the next line is inheritance, right? None of those things are my inheritance. Inheritance has this idea of something coming in the future, right? And so as great as those things are, none of the things that I immediately thought of can I take with me. None of them will be around forever, except for in heaven, amen? So David, when he wrote this, he couldn't have just been talking about, like, he wasn't just sitting on his palace like, man, this palace is awesome, and I've got so many wives, and or whatever he thought. I don't know what David felt blessed by besides God. So he couldn't have been, he was thinking on a different level. And the rest of the psalm actually supports that. Let's do parallelism with all of verse 6 by looking ahead at verse 5. The Lord is my chosen portion and my cup. You hold my lot. And then that whole section is magnified by the lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Indeed, I have a beautiful inheritance. So the language of verses 5 and 6, what it would have caused a Jewish person to think of is when Joshua allotted the promised land to the tribes of Israel and gave to the families this ancestral heritage. When Joshua did that, he said, this is your land. And someone could walk on their land and say, wow, I can't believe I have this land. This is so awesome that God gave this to me. But they could think beyond that because it wasn't just their land. It was going to be their children's land and their children's children. It was a forever inheritance. That's what God had given in terms of inheritance, okay? And so David, when he thinks about how things had fallen in his life and this inheritance that he was going to get, I think he could think this before, I'm a king, God's blessed me, but this was his plan hundreds of years earlier through Joshua and even before that. And this is going to go way beyond right now. There's an inheritance here that I won't even get to see that's even greater. And we know that is through Jesus. And so David could look at all he had and think, man, none of this is for me. This is God's plan. It's not from my strength, my might, even my devotion. God cast the lot for me. God has had these lines fall. God's in control of my inheritance. That changed my thinking about everything. You know, I think it's tough for us to admit how little we actually control, right? And we say, we're good Christians, so we say things about God being in control. Well, God's in control. God's in control. But I don't think we really listen to ourselves very often on that one, do we? Because here's the thing. If God is in control of our past, present, and future, then who isn't in control? Right? God is in control. Really? Okay, then why are we trying to control things so much if God is in control? We get so filled with anxiety when things seem out of control. We turn into control freaks, like, I got to get back in control. Wait, wait, wait. I thought God was in control. You know, what this psalm shows us is there is one thing we can control, and even that is only by the grace of God. And David tells us what that is. We read it at the beginning of verse 5. The Lord is my chosen portion and my cup. What could David control? He could choose God. That's what we can control. And so you could make a list right now. You can write a list. Things I can control. And under the, I can choose God. And then you can have another list, things I can't control, everything else. And that's the truth, if we accept it. But day to day, it's so hard for us to remember that. You can choose the Lord as your portion and your cup. God's given you the control over that decision. Have you chosen the Lord? What does that look like? Okay, I'm going to tell you something deeply psychological about myself. You ready? And I don't know if that you share this in you, but pizza. Okay? When you see a pizza, I don't know if this is what goes on in your head, but this is how I think. So let's say you're the first one. There's pizza, and you're the first one. And the pizza is pre-sliced, you know? And you look, and you don't just take a piece of pizza, right? No way. There's an examination process that goes into this, right? When I'm looking at pizza, I'm looking at some different factors. I'm not a huge crust guy. I know that might be offensive to you. So I'm actually looking for as little crust as possible, but as much cheese as possible. And then I'm looking for a pretty even distribution of toppings, unless, of course, there's a topping that I don't really like, and then I'm looking for the piece that has the most cheese, less crust, and the least of that topping that I don't really want, okay? And here's the thing. All of that goes in knowing that it's not like this is the only piece of pizza I'm going to have, right? Like, I'm coming back for 3-4 more pieces of pizza, but that first one, I get a little sweaty. Like, that's a big choice. That's a big responsibility. Is anybody else there? No? Okay, cool. Anybody else completely grossed out? No? Okay, we're all there. All right. And so, to say that the Lord is my portion and my cup is to say that I've looked at the whole pie. I've looked at everything. And there's all these things that I could choose, even though it's a false belief that it's your choice. And what the perfect thing for my life is God. That's what I choose. And it's so good. That's what I pick. I choose the Lord. If I could choose anything, anyone, any life, I have chosen that God is what I get. That's what it means to have the Lord as your portion. And then when we say that, we're saying, I'm going to let him choose the rest. So you pick that first pizza slice, and then any more pizza you get, he's the one dishing out. It'll actually be better that way. That's pretty radical surrender. It's also very basic. This is what it means to follow God. Have you decided? Have you looked at your life? And maybe it's a re-examination for us. Have you looked at your life and decided, the Lord is going to be my portion? If that's all I get, it's all I want. It's enough. God is what I get. Are you content and surrendered in that decision? That's really what the middle of that psalm is about. It's not about all that we have. It's that we have God, that we've chosen God. And we'll go back to verse 1 right now. We'll kind of go verse by verse to end this out. And you'll see that if that's our starting point, that we have chosen the Lord as our portion, all of this psalm makes so much sense, and it's so challenging. It changed my whole perspective on things. That's a good devotional time, and I hope you have great devotional times too. Amen? So it starts off, it says, "Preserve me, O God, for in you I take refuge. I say to the Lord, you are my Lord. I have no good apart from you." Okay, so go back to that moment when I first read this at the pond. I would be able to look at this beautiful day and think about my family and everything God's given me and say, this stuff's great, but I have no good outside of God. It's not even, this stuff isn't even good, because God is the only good thing. I'm not there. I'm not there. And I don't know how many of us are. But what a place to be. What a place of surrender. Talk about not trying to be in control, not worrying, if God really is the only thing that's good. And that's exactly what Jesus said to the rich young ruler who had lots of stuff, right? You call me good, there's only one who is good. Um, as we look through the rest of this psalm, think about that. Like, if it, only God is good, then what does that make our lives look like? Verse 3, let's read on here. I think there's a slide for that. As for the saints in the land, they are the excellent ones in whom is all my delight. When the Lord is our portion, when God is the thing that is good, we fall in love with the saints. And I'm not talking about like Saint Augustine or the holy dead guys. I'm talking about the holy alive people right here, the saints, the righteous family of God. Where do we go? If we have no good apart from God, then what does our focus turn to? It turns to the saints. That's the next place David goes immediately. I love God. I want to be with the saints. And let's be honest, we're not always in love with church, are we? We're not always in love with each other. Jason, that you're shaking your head too vehemently there. He's like, no, it's true. It's true. We're not. You don't always come and feel like the warm fuzzies when you're here. Like, I just can't wait to see everybody. Let's be honest. That's how it is. But isn't it interesting that after David says, "You are enough, God. You are my portion. I have no good apart from you," the very next place he goes is to the saints, to God's people. And I think this is why. Because when we're struggling with these relationships, it often points to a struggling relationship with God, doesn't it? If you read the letter of 1 John, over and over again, John tells us that you can't unlink your love for God and your love for God's people. They go together. He says it in so many different ways. It's a package deal. And I think that part of this is, that's so cool, and why this makes sense, that you'd go from loving God to loving God's family, is because we didn't pick this family, did we? We didn't choose each other. We chose God, and then God did this. It's out of our control. And when we realize that, when we come to church and we don't feel fired up or we don't feel close to people, when we realize that it's out of our control. This is what God has given us in this church. That's awesome. Like, God gave us this. That's awesome. And we don't have to come and feel pressure or feel criticism. We can just come and be with the excellent ones. That's how David saw the saints. These are the excellent ones. You're like, oh, you don't know these guys. No, that's how God sees it. And it's not up to us. It's his church. We're his saints. The excellent ones. Isn't that cool to think of yourself that way? The excellent ones. I want to hang out. I want to have a potluck with the excellent ones. Let's do this thing. Amen? All right. Verses 4 and 5. This is why we are the saints. We're the excellent ones. Why we should put so much attention and focus on each other. Because there is an alternative to having the Lord as your portion. And that is having some other Lord as your portion. The sorrows of those who run after another god shall multiply. Their drink offerings of blood I will not pour out or take their names on my lips. And so instead of being saints who have God as their portion, there are the people who have idolatry in their lives. David says that when instead of having God be our Lord, when we choose other lords, all we're doing is multiplying sorrows. And I think we probably all have some experience with that. That's exactly what happens when we let someone else be God, something else be God. Whatever it is, addiction, messed up ideas about what's right, what's wrong, inflated egos, money, popularity, pleasure, the list goes on and on and on, whatever it may be. Each of those things, when it turns into an idol, it just multiplies sorrows in our lives. But we can choose God and not even have the names of those idols on our lips, as David said. Amen? And that's what he says next in the verses we already read. The Lord is my portion, my cup. I chose God. I'm not picking those idols. I've chosen God. Verses 7 and 8, as we start to see, you know, what happens when we choose God. Well, David says this, I bless the Lord who gives me counsel. In the night also my heart instructs me. I have set the Lord always before me because he is at my right hand. I shall not be shaken. When we choose God, we have him, we have his spirit counseling us, even in the night. Our thinking, our feelings, everything changes. And then it says that we become unshakable. When you choose God, you become unshakable. We're no longer devastated by bad news when things don't go our way, because it's always going God's way. He's in control. Verse 9, it says, therefore my heart is glad and my whole being rejoices. My flesh also dwells secure, for you will not abandon my soul to Sheol or let your Holy One see corruption. When we choose God, and when God is enough for us, we can have true joy. He says, my whole being rejoices. My whole being rejoices. We can be so secure because we choose God, but God already chose us. Before you even took your first breath, God chose you. In Acts chapter 2, when Peter preaches the very first gospel message, he includes a psalm. Guess which one he puts in the very first gospel message? This one. Where it says, you will not abandon my soul. In the Greek Bible, it says, to the grave. And so this psalm of David saying, all I need is you. It wasn't just about his life, because he's even pointing all the way to Jesus. And there's even more. Acts 2 is the first sermon of Peter. The first sermon that we have of Paul is in Acts chapter 13. Guess what psalm he puts in his first gospel message? He puts in Psalm chapter 16. God is so with us. It's always been his plan that he is all we need. He will not abandon you. Not even death can separate us. This is a bold psalm. You will not abandon me to the grave. I'm not going to stay dead. Jesus shows us that that is going to be the truth. Amen. So when when Peter and Paul and the people who preached the gospel, when they preached, they put Psalm 16 in there, they gave it an even greater meaning, that the Lord is my portion. We know who the Lord is, that Jesus is Lord. And that's what we say, right? We say, Jesus is Lord. Those three words, that's our life. Are they still true for you? I think maybe a way to even think about that is, Jesus is Lord. Is that becoming more true for you or less true for you in your life? When we first make Jesus Lord, we don't fully know what those three little words are going to mean for us. But that we're going to have to keep saying Jesus is Lord all throughout our lives. I really want you to think about that this week. Is Jesus still Lord? Those three words solve all the problems that we face as church, as individuals, marriage issues. Let Jesus be Lord. If you ever get together with us for marriage counseling, and the couples who've come over recently for that, you know that the very first time we get together, we don't talk about marriage at all. We talk about Jesus, because that's actually what's going to help, the marriage to Jesus. Parenting issues. Is Jesus Lord? Anxiety, depression, addiction, those kind of, is Jesus Lord? Here's what happens when Jesus is Lord, the last verse. You make known to me the path of life. When Jesus is Lord, we get a roadmap to the path of life. The narrow road that leads to him. That's awesome. In your presence, there is fullness of joy. Fullness of joy. We say the word joyful, right? Like I say that to my kids, like I want them to be joyful, but I don't think we really understand what that word means. I love that it breaks it down here into fullness of joy, because I think a lot of times when we say joyful, we actually should say joy-ish, joy-some, right? But joyful, that's what Jesus can give us. Full of joy. In his presence, there is fullness of joy. I want us so badly, church, every single one of you, June, there's a little bit left, July, August, I want you to be in his presence and to experience fullness of joy. A time in his word, a time of prayer, where you come out of it full of joy. Not because of what you have or what or this or that, but just because you spent time with God. In his presence, there is fullness of joy. That's waiting for you. And then last, and what an incredible ending to the psalm, at your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Forevermore. This is that same pleasures, same word as in verse 6, pleasant places. And it's this idea that, man, that you know that the feeling I had at my pond, the feeling you have when you're like, this is so good right now. Extend that forever. That's what we're waiting for. That's what the people who say Jesus and Lord is Lord will get to experience forevermore. That feeling of being completely full of joy, having no needs, having everything that you need taken care of, being in the presence of God, pleasures forevermore. That's what you get when you say the Lord is my portion. That's an awesome portion. That's what you get when you say and live, Jesus is Lord. All right, so we're going to take communion right now. And then Clay's going to come up and just give us a couple thoughts for our special missions giving. We're going to give. So we're going to take communion, connect with God, and then we're going to give our regular contribution and our special missions, and Clay will talk about how to do that. If we really have chosen God and God's chosen us, then we can be cheerful givers. And I think we can have such amazing times with God this month. I hope this gets you excited to dive into a chapter or a verse and have a great devotional time, because it is so true that we have a beautiful inheritance in God. Let's pray to him right now. Lord, we thank you so much for what you've given us when we choose you, God. You give us everything. We truly have no needs when we have you. You are perfect. You are holy. You are righteous. You are full of love. You had this plan from the very beginning to save our souls so that we could be with you forever. Lord, we thank you for that. And right now we get to remember that moment when the plan what came to fruition in the life and death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And I pray that we could, as we take this cup, as we take this body, God, that we could remember that this is all we need. All week long, God, we could remember that this is what we need. We need you, and you've completely provided for us. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.